Let's sing one of Woody's old songs.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to Progressive News Network. I'm your host, Rick Spezak, news director, and we've got another one of our excellent SEIU and One Miami presentations. And let me bring on our good guest from Miami, and here we go. Rebecca, welcome.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Very good. Very good. So what's the news from our Tallahassee report?
Well, there was actually a lot happening around the state this week. There were campaigns against wage theft and for raising the minimum wage. There was a Fast for Families rally in Miami that ended in a high-profile arrest on Friday. And, of course, there was much going on in Tallahassee itself. I'll start there, and Subash, jump in wherever you like.
Here he comes.
Probably the most great.
Subash, welcome.
Subash is on now. Great.
Welcome. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay.
It's quite all right, Subash. I'm just starting everything out. Feel free to jump in if you have some comments as I'm going. Probably the most interesting issue in Tallahassee this week was the tuition bill for undocumented students. Just to give you a little bit of background, right now there's about 175,000 young people who grew up in Florida and graduated from our high schools, but they have to pay 3 to 4 times more for out-of-state tuition if they want to go to college here because their parents are immigrants or they are immigrants. And in many cases, you know, they've been here for most of their lives, but they're undocumented. There's a couple of bills in Tallahassee that have been doing pretty well. In particular, House Bill 851, filed by Representative Jeanette Nunez, would grant all Florida graduates an opportunity to pay a fair price for their education, regardless of their immigration status. This would be similar to what the laws are in about 17 other states, including places like Texas, Utah, and Kansas, which are fairly conservative. So we would be coming in line with a lot of other states if this goes through. That bill went to the floor this week, and it passed 81-33. All Democrats voted for it, and about half the Republicans voted for it. So that's really good news on the House side. On the Senate side,
The bill's not without its controversy as well, and I think that's where I think some folks need to really watch out for the Senate side of it, only because there was a last-minute amendment by House Republicans that would say that you would have to have spent 4 continuous years in a high school before you could qualify for in-state tuition. So, for example, someone that went to school for 2 years, dropped out, and then went back to school or got the GED, and then went on to become to even go to grad school or to college, would not qualify. We have one of the strongest members of the youth rights movement in South Florida, a person by the name of Julio Calderon, who came here as a teenager, came here when he was 16, wouldn't qualify. Folks that came here when they're 15 or 14 but started sophomore year in high school wouldn't qualify. So, and that was a last-minute addition by House Republicans. And so a lot of folks were angry about the amendment, but they still supported the bill. And I think that's just something to pay attention to once it goes to the Senate, to make sure that this bill really does mean that everyone that's called Florida their home and plans on keeping Florida as their home pays the same tuition.
Thanks so much. That was actually great. I'm glad you threw that in there. On the Senate side, Senator Latvala, he has a similar bill on this issue. It's got a harder climb because the Senate President, Don Gates, has said he's sort of against this issue. So he's placed a lot of hurdles in the way of this bill, which in the Senate means you route it through a bunch of different committees, so it has to pass a lot of things before it can actually get to the floor. The good thing is that LaValla is actually a veteran of the Senate, and so he knows how to work the system. If he can get it through the committee system and get the bill to the floor, a lot of people feel like it has a decent chance of passing, but there's going to be a lot going on between now and then before we can see exactly how this is going to turn out. But I would say overall, it's a step in the positive right direction for this issue. One of the other issues that came up this week, there was a bill to expand school vouchers in the Senate, and it pretty much died. There's just too much controversy, and the sponsor withdrew it, which may kill it for the session. It's hard to say because it's still a big priority for the House Speaker, Will Weatherford. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Then there were a couple of bills that went through the House that were being pushed by the NRA. One proposal wants to expand the Stand Your Ground immunity to people who fire a warning shot or threaten to use deadly force in cases of self-defense. And that one was very controversial. And then there was another one that was aimed at basically, you know, if you have kids playing with fake guns in schools, like, you know, pointing their fingers and things like that, that they wouldn't be punished for that. So those two things kind of went together, and they passed the House, mostly with Democratic opposition. Those things are very controversial, and they'll continue to go through as the session continues on the Senate side. Another thing that was going on this week was the minimum wage awareness campaign that's been started by Senator Dwight Bullard. He has a bill to try to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. So there were a number of rallies and press conferences and other actions going on just to raise awareness that this is going on. And it kind of went hand in hand with some with a rally that happened in Miami called the Fight for 15 Florida rally, and it was targeting McDonald's in particular for their practices of stealing the wages of their workers by doing things like not paying for all the hours that they're working, not paying for things that they do before and after they clock out, not letting them have appropriate meal breaks, things like that that really affect low-wage workers more than anyone else. So those were some things going on there. Also, on the wage theft front, there's a bill in the Senate by Senator Simpson that would preempt local wage theft ordinances in Miami-Dade and Broward, and it got postponed in its second Senate committee. We are sure it'll come back again, but it didn't move forward this week. And then coming up, we have we are just about a week out from the end of ACCA enrollment, which ends on March 31st, so there'll be a lot of people working hard to try to get everyone who possibly can sign up for health care to sign up because it's very important. And, you know, pay attention to that. There'll be lots of events going on around the state. Also, SEIU is going to be having a number of actions next week related to healthcare expansion. 1991, which is the nurses and doctors at Jackson Hospital in Miami, will be flying up to Tallahassee with members of the United Teachers of Dade, One Miami, 1199, and the Committee of Interns and Residents, among others, to hold a press conference and lobby our legislators to say, hey, look, we're paying for healthcare expansion. The federal government wants to give us the money. We're not, the state refuses to take it. Governor Rick Scott has been MIA on this issue, and the legislature refuses to do it. And we're going to hold them accountable. So we'll definitely be making a lot of noise next week, not only in Tallahassee, but there will also be actions in areas around the state, from Miami to Palm Beach and other areas. So keep an eye out for that.
If you want to send me a link to those, I can put them up on the site.
We absolutely will.
And just one thing to let folks know today is part of the reason I jumped on the phone call late today is because today the Fast for Our Families, which was a 22-day-long fast of several immigrant rights leaders in December, came into Miami to talk to House Democratic Minority Leader, Nancy Pelosi, and Representative Joe Garcia. And after that meeting, decided to pay a visit to Mario Díaz-Balart's office, who is considered one of the champions of the Republican side on immigration reform. Unfortunately, while he may be a champion, he hasn't been that great about keeping in contact with members of the community on this issue. And while trying to visit his office today, Eliseo Medina, who is one of the key fasters, a longtime veteran labor leader, was arrested by the Doral police and is still in jail as we speak. And so we want to keep folks updated on that. We want to let folks know that that's what happened. And so if people want to tweet out their support, they can follow the hashtag at Fast4Families. That's the number 4, Fast4Families. That's hashtag Fast4Families on Twitter.
Great. And Shubhash, you may want to just give them a little bit of context if they haven't heard of that campaign. You know, what is the essence of the campaign and what's been going on?
Oh, yes, great. Of course. So for people that don't know, the Fast for Families, they started a 22-day fast in December specifically to push for the passage of immigration reform. A lot of people may know that the majority of Americans support immigration reform, but immigration reform is basically stalled in the House as House leaders have refused to actually schedule a vote on immigration reform. It passed in the Senate, but it stalled in the House. And so after the Fast for Families did a 22-day-long fast where 5 members of the labor movement, of immigrant rights leaders, so on and so forth, went on a 22-day fast without food, they decided to take the show on the road and start meeting with legislators along the way. And so today was one of those days when we came down to Miami to meet with both immigrant rights leaders, members of the community, and elected officials as well. And that's where they decided to pay a visit to Mario Díaz-Balart's office. And like I said, this is kind of a developing story, so we'll keep folks posted and let folks know. But they should also follow Fast for Families on Twitter under hashtag Fast4Families.
Right, and just to wrap up, you know, anyone who's interested in joining us in Tallahassee, if you happen to be in the Tallahassee area, we'd be more than happy to have you attend press conference, which will be March 27th at noon in the Capitol in the fourth floor rotunda. And we'll be doing, you know, speaking out and delivering a message directly to the governor and the Republican legislators. And then I'll definitely send you a link to some of the other actions around the state for anyone who'd like to join with us on that. And, you know, really I think the underlying message that we're delivering is, you know, Governor Rick Scott has put his message out there, which is let's keep working. And we're making the point that, you know, who are you working for? Because you're not working for us. It's not working for us. And that's really just what we want to get out there at this point. So I think that's about it for this week. Thank you so much for letting us come on.
It's our pleasure to have you.
Great.
Shubhash, can I ask you one last question, sir, about the Fast for Families?
Does that
reference the idea of the breaking up of families because there's so much deportation?
Yes, it does. Yes, that's exactly what it refers to. Yes,
great.
If people don't know, the Obama administration is deported. This week would reach a milestone. It's deported. The Obama administration has deported about 2 million people thus far.
And I understand he's deported more than the last two presidents?
Yeah. I mean, he at this point is probably the most deportingest president of all time, which isn't necessarily a title to be proud of, but it's yeah.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for coming on. We really appreciate it, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beck.
Okay, bye-bye. Solidarity. Okay, that was the report from our good friends from SEIU and One Miami. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.